today on Real Radio.
Listen, you and I have that passion not because of any doing of our own. It's because God has drawn us to Himself. And if that is your desire, you can take a big, deep breath and relax, knowing that what God has begun to do in your life, He will complete it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today as we look into the Book of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah's ministry is like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel, well, they were beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 44, we learned how God's Spirit is our hope. His Spirit pursues us and protects us, the moment of salvation. That's how much God loves us. He may have chosen the nation of Israel to be His people, but it's also God's desire for all of us to spend eternity with Him. So today, Pastor Jack continues in chapter 44 by telling us that God has always known, even before He created us, that He'll redeem both the Jews and the Gentiles through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Spirit is eternal, and He created all things. He knows our beginning and the end of our days here on earth. And now in his lesson called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, guys, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 44, where we left off a couple of weeks ago. And a little bit of background and review, and then we'll pick it up just about near the end of the chapter where we ended. But we're looking at a message entitled, His Spirit, that is, His Holy Spirit, is our hope. And we saw in verses 1 to 6 that the Holy Spirit is our hope because we learned from the prophet Isaiah that it's God's Spirit that pursues us. And of course, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul wrote to the church in Rome that all of the things written previously in the Bible, that is the Old Testament, were written for our learning, and that by our patience learning the scriptures, we might inherit these promises. When Paul wrote that to the church at Rome, he was talking about us as Gentile believers. Again, remember, he's talking to the Romans, Italians, that God's promises were given to all those who believe in him. So it's quite a remarkable thing. So we look at the book of Isaiah, and we learn in the first few verses that God's Spirit is pursuing the nation of Israel, specifically Judah, but he's announcing that he's going to reach out to them again. He's, in fact, not only again, but he's always going to be calling them, Israel, back to himself. And we learn from John chapter 15 that Jesus echoed that eternal truth of God. God says to us tonight, that he says, if you trust me, believe in me, know this, you didn't choose me, God says, I chose you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to realize that God chose you? That should bring you comfort tonight. Listen, don't raise your hand, but do you desire to draw near to God? Do you desire to have faith in God? Do you desire to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, you and I have that passion not because of any doing of our own. It's because God has drawn us to himself. And if that is your desire, you can take a big, deep breath and relax, knowing that what God has begun to do in your life, he will complete it. He will finish that all the way to the end. And I am so grateful that God doesn't do things halfway. He does it all the way. He finishes what he begins. He's not human like us. My house is full of half-baked projects. My closet is half cleared out. And by the time I get to this end of the closet, the part I had cleaned originally is all messed up again. Not God. He just completely plods along in your life and in my life to get the job done. And we saw various things about that, and we took great comfort in how God speaks to the people of Israel that in the end, there's going to be a remnant that he saves. There will be a believing remnant of Israel. We saw in verses 7 to 20 that his Holy Spirit protects, that his Spirit protects by exposing false religions and deities. And we learned from that regarding discernment. And God is announcing that His sovereign, God's the creator, all other gods are false, and He alone stands true. And we would think, well, of course that's true. But we're going to see in our closing arguments tonight regarding this chapter, and if by God's mercy we get into the opening few verses of chapter 45, we'll do that. But in verses 21 to 22, we'll pick it up there together. God's Holy Spirit is also this for us. It's because that His Spirit feels. Now, listen to this. In verse 21, it says, "Remember these, that is truths, O Jacob and Israel. For you are my servant, and I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me." Remember, church, God says this. God says, "I will not forget you, O Israel." Remarkable times. And remember, we're saying this after 2,000 years of Israel not being a nation, and now they're back into the land again. God is making this announcement. We want to be very careful that we do not discount what God is saying regarding His people. He goes on in verse 22, He says, "I have blotted out," this is remarkable, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions." I want you to underline that in your Bible. In fact, I want to be a little lovingly sarcastic to you right now. When did that happen? This is written in 700 BC. What is God saying? "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions?" Really? "And like a cloud your sins?" When did that happen? This is why Isaiah is mentioned as the evangelical prophet. The prophet is possessed by the Holy Spirit speaking about, listen everybody, I hope this brings you comfort. He's speaking about a future event that is yet to take place, that Isaiah prophesies more about it than any Old Testament prophet, about a day coming when Israel's sins will be blotted out. That is, believing Israel. Well, when were your sins blotted out? Listen, I came to the Lord on June 20th, 1977. Listen, theologians, listen. Were my sins blotted out on June 20th, 1977, according to the Bible? Good answer. I heard it loud and clear. Somebody said no. He's exactly correct. Isn't that weird? Listen, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us that God, in advance, knowing what He was going to do through Christ at the cross, He saved us even before the cross ever happened. You say, wait a minute, that's freaking me out. It should freak you out. You and I came to faith in Christ on some certain day. Do you remember that? Or some of you, like my wife, Lisa, she's never known what it's like to not believe in Jesus. So she can't say what I can say. I came to faith in Christ in one day when I heard the gospel. She's never known what it's like to not know the gospel. Maybe you're like that. God bless you if that's the knowledge you have had. I wish I would have had that upbringing. Whatever the case is, how is it, listen, theologians, today, tonight, how is it that Christ saved you when He did? How is it that God saved you when He did? And the answer is theologically on the basis of the cross. That's how you're saved tonight, on the basis of the cross. But in the mind of God, when did Christ go to the cross? It wasn't 2,000 years ago. Before the mind of God, before Adam and Eve was ever formed, God, who is eternal, knew the answer of redemption before Adam and Eve were ever created. And He went through with the deal. You say, why would God know? He knows everything. Why would He create Adam and Eve knowing that they were going to blow it? Because He knows all things. He can't learn anything. God cannot be taught anything. He knows all in eternity. Why would He go through with the deal knowing that those two first kids of His would blow it? And the answer is, that's why. The answer is, that's why. He went through with the deal knowing that He would redeem His kids who would fall away from Him on the basis of innocent blood. Not the blood of animals, bulls and goats, but the blood of His own Son, not of animals. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. So when God says to Israel through the prophet, "I've blotted out your sins," it doesn't mean that Israel is nationally saved. that just because you're Hebrew, you're automatically saved. Didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, who was a Jew? What did Jesus evangelize to him? Yes, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nick, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it to heaven. How was a Jew saved tonight, anybody? You got to be born again if you're Jewish tonight. No, I'm Jewish, I go. No, you Jewish, you not go. No, a Jew has to go the same way as a Gentile. God says, I am God, I've created all, and there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And besides, if you want to get in a fight about this, I'll take you on right now about this one. The first Jew that ever was first a Gentile before he was a Jew. See how excited I am? I'm going like this about it. Abram was a Gentile before he became a Jew. How do you become a real Jew? Oh, the answer is both in the Old Testament and in the New. By the way, listen, spiritually, you realize something in here, in this room? No, there's some Jewish people in this room. There's some, what we'd say, Messianic believers or believers. We'd call them believers. In Israel, believers call themselves believers. They don't call themselves Christians. And that's cool. I like that. They call themselves believers. But here's the deal. Romans chapter 2 tells us that he is not a Jew who is circumcised outwardly of the flesh, but he who is a true Jew is the one who has been circumcised on the inward parts of his heart, whose praise is not from men. Oh, you're so religious. God says, nope, not accepting that. But whose praise is from God. Wow, how do you receive God's acceptance tonight? Christ. From Old to New Testament, God blots out sin and transgressions by the sacrifice of innocence. There is no one more innocent than his only glorified Son, Christ Jesus. Isn't it remarkable that the prophet speaks? And listen, think about it. Now put on your prayer shawl or put on your yarmulke and be Jewish for a second. And you're reading today, imagine today, 21st century, you're Jewish. And you're reading your prophet Isaiah, and you come to this verse 22 of chapter 44, and you read, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Is that not in the Bible? If you're Jewish tonight, how do you answer that verse? I would have to ask you, wouldn't this verse trump temple worship? Wouldn't this verse trump sacrificial animals? Red heifer, Passover lamb? Ladies and gentlemen, are you with me? Think of it. God says, I have, in the past tense, blotted out. That means it took innocence. I would ask when. Isn't it amazing that back in Genesis, starting in chapter 15, reading forward, God tells Abraham on Mount Moriah, I will provide. He speaks through Abraham to Isaac, and God says, I believe Abraham's acting as a prophet at that moment. When Isaac says, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? And the old King James serves it up the most accurate. The Lord will provide himself the sacrifice. Do you hear that? Awesome. That's how your sins are blotted out tonight. By Christ. Listen, the price has been paid 21 centuries ago. Just like Isaiah in his day is looking ahead to the future. You and I look back. And in the middle of the timeline of humanity is the cross. Abraham looked ahead, you and I look back. We all look to the same point. It's the cross, the cross, the cross. Christ died on the cross. Exactly as the prophets foretold, he would die as a sacrifice. It's absolutely awesome. Just think of it. How bold should we be then regarding our salvation, and how comfortable should we be? Absolutely. How do we lead people to Christ if we're insecure about our own salvation? Stop. Listen, I mean this to you and I. We need to stop valuing our salvation based upon our performance. Oh, I didn't pray much today. I'm a loser. I'm probably going to go to hell if Jesus doesn't come back. You would make a great cult member of some group then. It's all about works for you, right? Listen. I know the flesh feels better when we give more or serve more or pray more and we feel more accepted. Do you know that's a fallacy? His love is not human love. Well, I don't know if I like you today. Just stay away from me. You've upset me today. Do you know God's not like that? It's hard for us to grasp that because we are so performance-based people. He loves you. He has set his seal upon you. Think of that. Do you trust Christ tonight? I didn't ask you how much you trust him. Do you trust him? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? God says, I've blotted out your sins. You want to fight with him about it? I suggest you be quiet. Let him win. Believe him. He's awesome. And then in verses 23 to 28, his spirit is our hope because his spirit is, frankly, his spirit is eternal. Verse 23, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. That's awesome. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it, for the Lord. Notice in your Bible, it's all capital letters, Yah. That's the name of God. This is not the word God, and this is not a Lord as master. This is his name. For Yah has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Remarkable. I see John's wearing tonight the Ezekiel 38. Is that what you got? Ezekiel 38 and 39 on your shirt? Right here in my notes tonight, you can look at them later online. I've got just in parentheses, Ezekiel 36 to 39. God says in Ezekiel 36 to 39, by the way, we're very close. We've never been this close in the history of mankind to the fulfillment of the Ezekiel fulfillment. Read it. You need home. This is your homework. Go read Ezekiel 36, 7, 8, 9. And you look at that and you look at what's happened in the world around us and it's never been closer. But God says, just watch this. I'm gonna glorify myself in Israel. Now, there may be some of you here tonight or some of you watching and you're a product of modern-day college campuses, anti-Israel, anti-Israel nation, anti-Jew. There's a lot of that in college campuses today. It's just goes with all the other lunacy that's on campus. Parents, by the way, I'm a firm believer, you ought to dry up the money stream to the universities. I'm dead serious. Cut them off. Just cut them off. Where do I send my kid to college? I don't know anymore. Maybe the Khan Academy might be a good place. Khan, K-H-A-N. Maybe the Khan Academy, I don't know. But you understand, if you're gonna, I forget the prices. Please forgive me for being off. I'm sure I'm gonna be way lowball because I'm an old guy. But if you're gonna send your kid to Columbia or to Harvard or to Stanford and spend, what is it, $100,000 a year? Maybe $200,000, I don't know what it is. What are you gonna pay for? What are you buying? You're buying the professor's opportunity to indoctrinate your kid on that professor's political worldview. You think you're gonna get a really decent electrical engineer now out of Stanford? Not anymore. No, you're gonna get a kid that's full of political jargon and craziness. Do you want don't send your kid to college to learn all about how ridiculous you are and your Christian worldview. That's what kids are doing. Look it up. I don't know what the answer is, but if I had unlimited funds, I would not be sending my kid to Harvard. It is an absolute disgrace, which, and I always love to say this, I wouldn't be sending my kids to a Christian university founded by a Christian pastor whose name was John Harvard. Did you know that? Harvard University was a seminary for pastors founded by John Harvard. Samuel Adams, John Adams, the whole Adams family went there. Everybody went there. Did you know that? Did you know Yale was a Christian university? Princeton, Christian university. Did you know they all went nuts? Now they're anti-Christian. That was my little rant. It was nowhere in my notes. I just felt very possessed to do that, but Verse 24, for thus says the Lord, that's Yah again, your Redeemer. Isn't that beautiful? He who has formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things. I love God when he flexes. I've made all things. Watch. Who stretches out. Any astronomers in here? Listen, this is awesome. Who stretches out the heavens all alone. This word stretches out in the Hebrew. Watch this, everybody. It wasn't until not too long ago that we discovered that the universe is what? Constricting or expanding? Expanding. God says in the Hebrew language, in Isaiah 44, I've stretched it out. I flung it out, and it's still being flung. NASA, JPL figures that out. Oh, I love it. God says, I did that. Get your Hubble, get your telescopes, get your science, get your all your stuff out there. You're going to find out. Watch. You're going to listen. You're going to find out that it's moving outward. And now you're faced with a dilemma. Ninth grade science has got to answer this question. If it's moving out, stop the movement and roll back the hands of time and make it go backwards, because you can't tell where you're going unless you first find out where you've come from. So stop the mechanics, the astrophysics, roll back, put it through a computer model. If we're moving, I forget what the numbers are. Many of you are so much smarter than this. But by the time 24 hours from today, all of the mechanisms in motion, the Earth spinning, our galaxy, our system all moving, I think it's something like 1 million miles we will have all moved in movements 24 hours from right now. The spot that this globe is in right now in space, it will never be visited again. And we're moving outward, and we haven't hit the wall yet at the end. And God says, and yet, listen, all things physical are limited. Are you sitting down? Think of this for a moment. All things physical are limited. How old is the earth? How old is the universe? I don't know, neither do you. I just know this, we haven't hit the end yet. All things physical are limited. And God says, I made it all. He's just looking at it like it's a little goober right here he's just like, and we think we're something. Look at us, God, we've got it. And we look like a mouse on a basketball. Hey, God, look at us, we got it all under control. And he looks from heaven, and he can see the beginning and the end. And he's going, what is that noise coming out of that blue ball down there? Hey, God, let me tell you how to run the universe. It's absolutely hilarious. God says, I've done it all. I've done it all.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. And when our hope is in God's Spirit and our focus is on God's Word, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if Pastor Jack's messages have become an important part of your Christian walk, and you'd like to give a one-time gift or even partner with us on a monthly basis, we've provided an easy way for you to do just that. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab there that says Donate. And if you'd also like to let Pastor Jack know how much his ministry has inspired you, or you've got some thoughts or questions, just click on the tab right there that says Contact Us. Once there, we've provided our address, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Also a telephone number, 877-777-2346. And there's also a way for you to email us if you'd like. Your contributions are a big part of what keeps us on the air, and we welcome your thoughts and prayers. Again, all the information you need is right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or on the Real Life app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.